Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the move to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I'm joined in by the one and only Stephen Debo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on?
Man, how you doing tonight?
Man, doing good. Doing good. Rolling right along. Here we are. Week 9, baby.
Dude, I know. Like, it seems like this NFL season, we were so anxious for it. And now we're sitting at, like, what, almost the halfway point of the season.
Yeah,
Man, it's been crazy. It's been a season full of ups and downs. It's been a season full of some massive moves that just took place yesterday with the trade deadline. And to be honest with you, man, I'm anxious to talk about it. And so before we get into that, Stephen, what we always do is we like to hold each other accountable a little bit and talk about what we're currently at in our records. So what are you sitting at after this week, man?
All right. So after this week, redraft week this week, I went 2-2 on the week. My dynasty leagues this week, I went 9-4. One of those, as you all know, is a complete rebuild. I'm 0-8 there. So another solid week overall for me. 77-41 dynasty record on the year. 20-12 redraft record on the year, and a total record between both of those, dynasty and redraft, of 97-53 on the season.
Hey, man, sitting right around that 66% win column. That's pretty nice. But so with me this past week, man, redraft, I went 1-1, sitting at 13-3 overall, though, man. I'm pretty happy about that.
Killing redraft.
Man, I made a couple moves this past week. I actually sold away Patrick Mahomes in a Superflex league, and it hurt me. But ended up picking up Chris Godwin and DeAndre Swift off the trade, though. So just solidified my starting lineup a little bit as we get towards the end of it. Dynasty, I'm set at 5-3 last week, with three of those leagues being rebuilds. So that's where my three losses came in. And then overall, sitting at 31-34 overall. And so, man, it's been fun, though. I've tackled a lot of rebuilds this year. And I actually looked at one of my leagues while I go, Steven, before we jumped on. One league, I'm actually sitting with 6 first-round picks in the 23 class and 4 first-round picks in the 24 class.
Ooh.
And so it's been interesting for sure. But, Steven, I'm going to go ahead and get into these notes, man. Go ahead and start us off here.
All right, man. Well, look, the biggest news of the week seemed to be is a lot of big news this week, but one of the biggest storylines was Christian McCaffrey, man. first player since LT in 2015 to score a rushing, a passing, and a receiving touchdown in the same game. So, I just gotta ask, did we undervalue what CMC was going to be in the 49ers offense?
All right, look, Steven, I'm going to be honest with you, man. So I've been together with my wife now for, man, almost like 15 years. And, you know, I think that she's awesome. And I think after a while, I got used to her, you know. And sometimes you just got to take a step back and just marvel just at how good she really is. You know what I mean? And so you got CMC here, man. I think with us as fantasy managers, we took this dude for granted. You know, he was on a terrible offense with Carolina, and we knew how good of a player he was, but we just kind of got accustomed to it. Now you put him on this offense, dude, and he is shining like the superstar that he is. And so Christian McCaffrey, to me, has jumped up a little bit in my dynasty rankings. Not much, just a little bit. But I think as far as this year, I'm going to go ahead and call it, man, RB1 right now.
Man, he is looking phenomenal. And just to be in his basically – this past week was basically his first full week in a 49er system. And to do what he's done already – and I'm going to give Jimmy G his props, man. He is utilizing him. He is checking it down to him. He is doing what he needs to do. And I think that had to be an understood, right? They probably told Jimmy G, look, you're getting one of the best pass-catching running backs in the league.
Absolutely.
Check it down to him. Because Jimmy G is not – really been a check down guy in his career, but you know, man, he is really doing his due diligence to get CMC the ball, and I'm loving it. All right, so moving on, Jamar Chase, he looks to have avoided major injury, but he's still expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks, although There is reports that he could return sooner. So this is one of those things. It's just like, all right, what's going on? 4 to 6 weeks? Is it 3 weeks? Is it at 7 weeks? Who knows when he's coming back? It's great that it looks like he avoided major injury. They're not going to put him on IR. But my question for our dynasty managers here, and then if you're dead red win now, are you selling him to try to win your league and try to get some pieces, or is he just a hold regardless for you?
That's tough, man. That's tough. His value obviously took a hit with the injury, not by much, but with it, if you're dead red win now, man, I would throw him out there and just see what kind of offers you could get. But also, you're not selling them cheap. You know, you're not selling them for like a Debo who's also dealing with injury. You're not selling them for, you know, just pennies on the dollar. But, man, he's one of those assets to where Dynasty, it looks like he's going to be one of these players that's going to be good for the next, man, you know, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And so on Dynasty, is to me personally, he's probably a hold.
So let me just run a scenario by you. Let's just say you're dead red win now. You need a receiver to replace him to make a run, because you don't know what he's going to be coming back. Even if he's back for the playoffs, you just don't know. So let's just say you have him. Would you trade him away for, let's say, a D-Hop who's killing it right now and a 23 first? Is that enough?
Not for me.
Yeah. So, see, you're just probably not going to move him, right?
No.
So, I don't know anybody. I don't know that I would give that up. So, I mean, we'll just – and it would depend on my league. Obviously, if I was rebuild, I might, you know, but you know, you're not moving a first if you rebuild. So,
absolutely,
you know, it's tough. So yeah, he's probably a hold. I kind of agree with that sentiment. He would be hard to move because you would want a lot. I've actually got him in a league where I consider myself definitely middle of the pack, probably back end. It was an orphan that I took over. And I've got some pieces. I've got Jalen Waddle. I've got Jamar Chase. I've got CeeDee Lamb. I've got some great pieces, and I've actually thrown them out there to say, look, guys, I want to rebuild this thing, but none of the offers have been great. And it's honestly, it's probably a league I'm going to get out of because of that reason. Like, I took over an orphan that I need to try to rebuild, and I can't get any good offers for these young guys that are studs right now, you know? So again, he's definitely probably a hold because I don't think you're getting the value that you think you should get. And then on the flip side of that coin, people just are really hesitant to pay the price that most think he's worth. Yep. Piggybacking off of that, the Bengals offense in general without Jamar Chase this past week was abysmal. It was terrible Monday night. You know, you thought Boyd would have a good night. He's looked pretty good this year. You thought Higgins might go off and have a decent night without Chase, and they were just terrible. What do you think about that offense in general without the presence of Jamar Chase?
Man, I hope to see it turn around, honestly. I watched that game, and it seemed like Joe Burrow could not even take his drop back and get half a second before he got sacked almost or pressured or whatever. You had Tyler Boyd actually get bailed out by a touchdown to have a decent fantasy night. Same thing with T. Higgins on the long touchdown pass that he received. Outside of that, the Bengals offense was terrible, man. I know this coming up week, they may have a good bounce back opportunity. But to be completely honest with you, they're in Dynasty, they're one of their offense, the pieces there between Burrow, Higgins, Mixon, all of those. I see the potential, and I think a lot of Dynasty managers do, but we want to see the offense that we saw the previous 2 weeks. We want to see Joe Burrow, who just threw for 400 and something yards, you know? And I think with that, I think what it comes down to is you have a terrible offensive line who did not show up good this past week. And then also you have Zach Taylor, who has just not been the best play caller this past season.
Yeah.
And so things got to fall in line for sure.
Yeah. I think they'll turn it around. I think the offense is too, I think they've got too many dynamic players. I think Burrow is great. I really do. And he even said after the game, it was basically unacceptable. The performance, no matter Chase being out or not, was unacceptable. So I look for him to turn it around, and I really hope they do. All right. So DJ Moore, everybody probably saw it, had a wonderful, miraculous catch at the end of regulation. And he absolutely balled out. PJ Walker threw a dime Hail Mary pass, that Moore just ran under and caught it, tied the game at 34 all with 12 seconds to go, with the extra point pending. Unfortunately, DJ Moore took his helmet off, and as you all know, that is a big no-no, received a unsportsmanlike penalty for doing that. which ultimately led to a 48-yard extra point that was missed, and that led to an overtime loss for the Carolina Panthers. So here we are. I'm just going to give you my thoughts before I ask you what yours are on DJ Moore.
Okay.
I've had a couple people in the league, in some leagues, say, man, I hate this. I hate that penalty. And as much as you might hate it, DJ Moore is a professional football player. He has to know the situation. He has to know what's going on. He has to know that he cannot do that. Now, I like him as a player. I think he's talented. I think he is going to be better next year. He might get traded. He might not. But he is still balling out. Regardless, I feel for the Panthers, and I hope he just uses his learning experience, because he cost his team a win. He cost his team a win. Even with the great catch, he cost his team a win, because I'm going to just venture out on a limb and say nothing's for certain, but that kicker would have made that extra point if it would have been a regular extra point and not a 48-yard extra point. Now, I know he missed a shorter field goal in overtime too, but at that point it was in his head. He knew he had already missed the extra point. There was a lot going on with him. So I completely blame DJ Moore for this loss, and it was unacceptable in my opinion for a professional athlete.
All right, you want to hear my thoughts on this?
Probably not.
What if this was a suave move by Mr. DJ Moore to basically get a better draft pick next year? Not saying that's what he thought of in the moment, but like, you got to think about this, man. This dude just basically won the game, like you said. And then because of this penalty, they may have a better draft pick because of it. Not saying that he's trying to get the losses or whatever, but what if because of that helmet toss, now they can go out and get a Bryce Young or a CJ Stroud next year? How nuts would that be? But in my personal opinion, though, I'll be honest with you, I don't think he's thinking about that at all. I do want to say as well, I do somewhat agree with you. I know there were a bunch of controversy on Twitter and a couple more places saying that he was off the field of play. He was past the end zone when he took his helmet off. And so, therefore, the penalty in question is actually stated in the rule book that it has to be on the field of play. And so there was some debate that went back and forth in the Twitter hemisphere just about how, you know, the fact of that rule, the stating of that rule, should it have been a flag, shouldn't have been a flag. I will be honest with you. I do think this was a mistake. I do think that he shouldn't have threw his helmet off. I know you kind of had flashbacks of Stephon Diggs with the Saints, but that was a walk-off touchdown. And also, I don't think this was as dumb as a move as Chase Claypool celebrating the first down last year with 40 seconds left in the game. I still think that's in my category, like in my mind and in my mindset, I still see those two things as completely different. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I had flashbacks, and you're going to remember this, of the DK Metcalf.
The peeing on the
end zone? Peeing on the goalpost cost them the win there. That's kind of what I had flashbacks of, because it was a touchdown at the end of the game, and he cost his team there. I think, man, that's chess, not checkers, right? When you talk about when you talk about losing the game on purpose. But my thing about that is the NFC South is up for grabs. Like,
this is the first place game, man.
The Carolina Panthers win the game, they're in first place.
Yep.
So I don't know that I completely can say, well, they're looking for a better draft pick, because it's still up for grabs at this point.
Absolutely.
I know what you're saying. So chess, not checkers. And maybe, you know, the trade deadline was coming up. You know, maybe he just didn't care, you know, and maybe that was it. Maybe he just knew what he was doing and was like, maybe I'm getting traded anyway, which he did not. But, you know, regardless, I just think it was not a classy move, in my opinion. It's a very high emotion game, but you are a professional NFL athlete. You have to know better in that situation that you can't do that. All right, moving on. Cooper Kupp. We saw him go out at the end of the game in a blowout loss with an ankle injury. Thank goodness that it was only some soft tissue swelling. He is expected to play this Sunday. Just a small little – we won't spend much time on this, but just as a fantasy manager, we want our players to get those garbage yards at the end of the games, right? We want them in. We love that when you see an offense down and they're down, you know, two touchdowns or, you know, whatever, and the defense is just kind of playing that prevent. Man, you see Zach Ertz and you see some of these guys just catching 10 yards here, 10 yards, 10 yards, you know, check downs to receivers, things like that. We love those type of things. But is there a fine line as a fantasy manager? Is there a flip side to that, that you just would be like, all right, let's just get him out before he gets hurt because I need him to win a championship in my league and I don't need him hurt here at the end of a meaningless game. So I know that's a balance and it's kind of weird to talk about it on a fantasy's perspective because you probably need all the points you can each week. But what do you think about the balance of garbage time, but then also having those players available for the rest of the year for you?
I think just from a fan, not even a fantasy perspective, I think just from a football perspective, you want what's best for the player. And if you know, man, if you know within a shadow of a doubt that the game is over with, like I remember I had I was watching the stat line of a player and his player prop, it was Josh Jacobs this past week. He had to actually hit over 100 receiving and rushing yards combined. And you watched that game, you saw it was terrible. But they were down by what, man, like 30 points? Yep. And then into the fourth quarter, I was like, oh, man, he's got 60 combined yards. Could he hit it? And then the next drive, he was pulled, and their JV squad came in. And So for me, it's like I was a little upset that you didn't get those points. But on the other hand, I understood, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, I think the longevity of the season and also from a fantasy perspective, like what you said, yes, we do need those points now. But, man, if you're a contender and whatnot, you're looking at those fantasy playoffs. Yeah. And so with it, man, knowing that Cooper Kupp, that he may should not have been out there at that moment, but also the fact that they did look up there for sure.
Well, hindsight's always 20/20, right? And you can say what you want when you want. But again, I agree with you. I agree with completely what you said. It's just one of those things. If the game's over and you know you need that guy for the rest of the year to win a championship, I think sometimes we would be okay. Hey, let's get him out, not get him hurt. I need him for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so moving on. Justin Fields. I want to touch base with this guy for just a minute. All right, so right now there are four quarterbacks who have posted four or more consecutive games with 17-plus fantasy points. This is standard leagues. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and now Justin Fields. There is a very good chance that Fields will be able to extend that streak this week and in the weeks beyond because their next three matchups are Miami, Detroit, and Atlanta, all whom have given up huge numbers to quarterbacks. He also got a slight upgrade at wide receiver this week. I say a slight upgrade with wide receiver because they traded for Chase Claypool, which we will touch on that just a little bit more in just a minute. But back to Fields, no matter what you think of Justin Fields as an on-field NFL quarterback, is he starting to prove that as a fantasy quarterback, he can be really, really good? What do you think? Where do you have Justin Fields in your QB rankings?
He's climbing, man. He's climbing. I still don't particularly like that offense, but I'm starting to like the way they're using Justin Fields. It seems like over the past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they're starting to actually let him run the ball some. They're actually having designed runs. You're actually starting to see him put up more fantasy numbers than Lamar Jackson the past couple weeks.
Yep.
And now you have a young quarterback in an offense that is improving. You know, just like, man, I remember back before the season, Steven, we talked about this offense and you said, man, you know, there's a lot of people that have to take that next step up. Justin Fields, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, all of this. And you said, I don't know if all of them do. What we're starting to see is that all of them are not, but Justin Fields is. And so for that, he is climbing in my dynasty rankings. I'll be honest with you. He's sitting right there for me in that fringe QB1, QB2. I don't want to say he's top 12 yet for me, but I want to say he's right there, probably around 14, 15. Man, just he's young, and honestly, he's making me adjust my rankings, and I hate it.
Yeah, I got a buddy that is a huge Bears fan, and he gives me so much junk about. He says I talk crap all the time about Fields, and I'm just going to go on record here and say Justin Fields is not the problem in Chicago. I like Justin Fields and what he does. They are going to have to put the players around him to make him even more successful and make that team successful. So that's me on record saying that. I'll agree with you. He is fringe QB1. I do think this Claypool trade, I had another buddy that we were talking about this week. He kind of made this statement. He said that the Claypool trade proves that Chicago believes in Fields.
Absolutely.
So I've got him right there where you do. Fringe QB1. We need to see a little bit more. They need to start throwing the ball more. It can't be just all on his legs. But from a fantasy perspective, man, he's right there in that fringe QB1 territory, and I love it. Okay. All right. So moving on for just a second, Chase Claypool traded to the Bears at the deadline. We just talked about that. The Chicago wide receiver room just in general has been pitiful. It's been pitiful. Mooney has not been great. This Velus Jones experiment was terrible. So I'm not the biggest Claypool fan. So I'm not sure this move makes them that much better. But what are your thoughts on this Claypool move to the Bears?
I still got him outside my top 30 at the wide receiver position, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I think Mooney, you know, he's a good deep ball guy. What is Chase Claypool? Is he just the go up and get it guy? Is he the physical receiver that Fields needs to just throw it up and let him go get it? I don't know. I don't know what's going on here. They don't throw the ball but 15 times a game. So I'm not sure what's going on. Going back on what we just said, the offense is going to have to change a little bit.
Yeah, and Claypool does remind me of, like, man, a Mike Williams, a vintage Kenny Galladay, not right now, but vintage Kenny Galladay. Yeah. Man, even Allen Robinson back in the day. Yeah. And so I think for that, I do see that go up and get it. He's great at high pointing a pass. Yeah. He lays his body out on the line when he does catch it and things like that. And so I think with this offense, man, they've seen what Cole Kmet's been doing this year, which has been barely anything. The only good weapon they have is Darnell Mooney, who's only getting like, what, 60 receiving yards a game, if that. Mm-hmm. And it's usually on one deep pass. Right. And so to go out and get Chase Claypool, I will agree with your friend. I think that they are starting to buy into Justin Fields, and you're starting to see a big difference in how organizations view their quarterbacks. You had Tua, who got massive weapons, and look at the uptick he had. You had Josh Allen, that got out and got Stephon Diggs. Look at the uptick that he had. And so now I'm not saying that Claypool is on those levels of Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, all of those.
Right.
But I do agree that it is an upgrade. And now my thing is, who's to say that when the 23 draft comes out, who's to say that the Bears don't go out and get one of the top prospects like a JSN or a Quentin Johnston or someone like that, to where they can really solidify this move and make Claypool more of that, hey, you know what? We'll throw you one or two deep balls a game. Just go up there and get it.
I think you're completely correct. And I think the Miami situation has proven this, just like you just used the Bills as a perfect example. You have got to put offensive weapons around these guys or they're not going to succeed. And you have to put good offensive weapons around these guys. So I completely agree with you. All right. So real quick, TJ Hockenson, very quick here. Hawk was traded to the 6-1 Vikings, which are a great Super Bowl contender, it seems to be. They're going for it all with this trade, I think. What do you think this does for TJ Hockenson's value, not only this year, but for his dynasty future?
I think it honestly keeps him around the same, if I'm honest with you. He's still outside the top three, in my opinion. And I think with it, I mean, I haven't seen Kirk Cousins used a tight end that much. I mean, I know that Irv Smith hasn't really been on the field the past 3 years, but I mean, with it, I don't know, man. I think that Hockenson's still right around that tight end six in Dynasty, somewhere around there. And I think it's more of a push, you know?
Yeah.
And which I do like the fact that he's in a better offense. I will say that.
Yeah. I think it's a hold on his value where I felt like it may have been dropping with the Lions. I think with the Vikings, it's kind of put a stamp and a hold on it for now.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
All right. So moving on from TJ Hockenson here, real quick, Chase Edmonds traded to the Broncos this week in a package deal that involved Bradley Chubb and a first round pick. More on that in just a minute. But how does this affect Chase Edmonds, who's still only 26 years old? What do you think we get out of him at least for the rest of the year this year?
Man, I don't know. I got him on one redraft team and absolutely hate it, to be honest with you. I think you're going to get, man, fringe flex play. And what I mean by that is I don't see him putting up more than 10 points a game, honestly.
I don't know what this means, if it means anything. But on the depth chart, he's listed as the RB1.
Really?
Denver Broncos. So you can take that with a grain of salt for what it's worth, but that's where they have him listed. I am almost certain that that is where they have him listed.
Wow.
I was looking the other day after the trade, and I saw it on Twitter, and I thought, there's no way. So I actually looked up their depth chart, and sure enough, there he was, running back one. As I say that and pull it up, he has now been moved to running back three. So
no, okay.
Scratch that. So, yeah, I guess I agree with you. I just don't know what he's going to bring to the table. It's kind of one of those wait-and-see things, and we'll see.
Agreed.
All right, Nyheim Hines traded to the powerhouse Buffalo Bills, man. The rich are getting richer over there. Hines immediately jumps into the back end. RB2 flex play consideration on a weekly basis, especially in PPR formats. I love the move for Hines. I love the move for Buffalo. It's obviously a blow to Singletary, who has been pretty good this year. But man, it's an even bigger blow to the rookie James Cook, who now falls all the way to third on the depth chart.
Man, how are those guys who drafted Cook in the first round feeling right now?
Woo! It's tough, man. It's tough. It's tough. It's I don't know, man. It was just the name, right? Like, cause he wasn't highly touted. I mean, to me. I did some research on him. I know he did some good things, but he wasn't a Dalvin Cook. And so it's just got to be the name why people drafted him so high, or maybe they're just terrible at what they're doing. I don't know. But, yeah, man, that's tough. That's a tough blow for some of those people who drafted him late. You know, I saw him go late first a few times, so that was tough. All right, moving on. Calvin Ridley traded to the Jaguars, man, and I know he's finishing out a year-long suspension, but we are talking about dynasty football. So this goes well beyond just this year. He's finishing out that year-long suspension. We'll get a full offseason with Trevor Lawrence and company, basically an entire winter, spring, and summer to dive in and learn that playbook. So what about Calvin Ridley, man? Tell me your thoughts on him. We hadn't really talked about him in a while. He just resurfaced at the trade deadline here. I think he'd kind of been forgotten about. So where do you have Calvin Ridley in your wide receiver dynasty rankings?
He's pretty far back there just with the suspension, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
For me, though, I will say this, dude. I think he's worth a deep stash.
Yeah, man. He's definitely got to be rostered in all dynasty leagues. I mean, absolutely. He's got to be. I don't know what his value is. It's probably going to be a wide array. It could be probably, I would say, anywhere from probably a it could probably be anywhere from a late second to maybe a mid first. I don't know. It's just going to depend on what people's value have of him. And it's probably a wide, wide array.
Yeah. Like for instance, if I'm buying, I would probably send a third. If I'm selling though, I'm probably not looking for anything less than a second.
Yeah. You're not. Yeah. I don't know in what world anybody would give him up for a third at this
point.
That's
what I'm saying. I think it's a hold.
So, yeah. I tend to agree with you there. All right, last thing of news and notes here. Man, it's been a busy week on the news and notes segments with these trade deadlines and some of this other stuff going on, man. But just one thing I want to touch on here, and this has a little bit to do with dynasty football, but it's more NFL stuff here. The trade haul for Trey Lance. Have you seen the stuff going on social media past couple of days of the package that this wound up being, man? It was a doozy. So the package that the Dolphins essentially got for the Trey Lance pick was Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Bradley Chubb. Now, I know this isn't dynasty related, like I said, man, but this was an absolute haul. Looking back on this, do you think San Francisco today would still give up this much for your boy, Trey Lance?
I think they got fleeced, I'll be honest with you. Because I saw it. You know, they said that, you know, they combined it with a couple more picks. Traded up, got Jalen Waddle, combined it with a couple more picks, traded away, got Tyreek Hill, you know, threw Edmonds in there and got Chubb. And, dude, with all of this, man, it's just Trey Lance, I think the potential's there. I really do. But my thing is, man, right now you're looking for production, you're looking for value. And honestly, Jimmy G's looking like he's having a resurgence. And so
I've been saying this, man, for a year and a half, man. Jimmy G ain't going nowhere. Dude. Jimmy G's going nowhere. They did him wrong to start with, in my opinion. I know they wanted to turn the page and they wanted to have the next Patrick Mahomes, but Trey Lance ain't Patrick Mahomes. So.
And Jimmy G's about to get paid, bro.
He sure is. He sure is.
All right, Stevens, let's get into the sneaky flex play, man. The one segment that I hate each and every week, and we should just remove it from the Word doc completely. we started off this season killing it with our sneaky flex play. Steven is still killing it. Me particularly am not. So let's just recap real quick. Stevens said to start Deontay Foreman last week. Bold, bold call. Came in at the RB5 on the week with a stat line of 26 rushing attempts, 118 rushing yards, and three touchdowns. Three, Steven.
I know.
Ah, my gosh, man. I saw him go for a third this week. Oh, that was you, wasn't it, Steven?
It was me. Man. It was.
Yeah, great times. And I said to start Gus Edwards, who went down to injury in the second half of that line of 13 attempts for 65 yards, finishing an RB46. Uh-huh. Moving on. What I like about this week's sneaky flex play, Steven, is that mine and yours are very, very similar. They're actually coming at the same position in the same game. Yep. So very, very similar players. And so I'm going to start this off, Steven, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but your sneaky flex play this week should be backup running back for the Detroit Lions, Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams has been killing it this year, surprising people all year long, and I don't think it's going to stop anytime soon. He's playing against his old team, the Green Bay Packers, now, you know, revenge game, blah, 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 blah. But he has been eating into Swift's workload, and I think he's going to do it once again. If I've got him on any team, I'm plugging him in my flex play. I think he's going to get over 10-plus points easy.
Man, he has been. He has been eating it. And I know Swift's been injured, but even this past week, man, he had more carries than Swift, and I don't know if Swift's on a pitch count. I don't know. I hate it for Swift. But again, if you have Williams, you love it because I think you're correct. I think you can plug him in as a flex or an RB3. And you know, even on some of these buys, I think you feel okay as him being an RB2. So, look, man, I'm completely fine with it, and I completely agree with you. I think he puts up 10-plus easy this week. And as you said, man, same game, same position, backup running back. So if you know NFL and who the matchups are this week, you know I'm going with A.J. Dillon here. And I feel – I'm going to go ahead and say this. It feels like a stretch, but I just want you to listen to me for just a second. All right, he had 10 carries this past week for 54 yards. He also added one catch on his only target for 9 yards in his loss to the Bills. But I'm going to say this, man. The Packers, it just seemed to be like this past week they just decided – we've got to run the ball to even have a chance. Nope. And Dillon saw double-digit carries this past week for just the second time in the last 4 weeks. I know Aaron Jones doubled him up and was more effective, but I do believe that the Packers realize they must run the ball. They must run the ball. They've got to run the ball. I really believe that. I look for both backs this week for the Packers to be heavily involved. And again, a favorable matchup. We have picked on the Lions all year long in these flex plays. And here I am again picking on them, man. I look for him to be a favorable matchup for A.J. Dillon. I think he's a nice flex play this week. And I think this definitely makes him worthy of flex consideration.
Absolutely, man. I know with the bye weeks and stuff too, you got six teams on bye this week. That's yep. nuts. Yep. And with that, man, I've got one league right now where I'm actually starting Dillon this week. And it's one of those things where you don't feel good about it, but it's also a favorable matchup. Right. You're going to have work there because they've been working both of them. So I saw a couple of plays in the game last week where both of them were on the field at the same time. And so Aaron Jones will get his. He will finish with RB1 numbers. And I do feel like A.J. Dillon could very, very easily put up 8 to 12 points in this matchup for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I love both of ours this week. Let's just see where they go and see what happens.
Absolutely.
Moving on, man, to our next section, our underdog section. We started this last week. This is basically a player prop section here. There's underdog app that you can download on the Apple App Store, and it allows you to, basically try your luck at some over-unders. So let's just recap our picks last week, BJ. I had Gus Edwards over 47.5 rushing yards, which hit. I had Tom Brady under one interception, which also hit. You had Zach Ertz under 49.5 receiving yards, which also hit. and Pat Freiermuth over 40.5 receiving yards, which also hit. So we killed it, man. Four for four in our first underdog section. So watch out. This week is going to be terrible. We're trying our best, man, to find you some nice plays, some good plays to plug in if you want to give this a try. Here's what we'll do, BJ. I'll go with one here, my first one, and then I'm going to turn it over to you and let you go one, and then I'll do another one, and you can do another
one. Sounds good,
man. All right. So my first one this week. My first underdog play this week is Travis Etienne, man. He has been absolutely killing it since taking over, as the RB1, especially on the Russian side. The last 3 weeks, he's rushed for 86 yards, 114 yards, and 156 yards. And that's just rushing numbers, in the past three games. I think they continue to give him this bell cow usage, as far as running the ball. And his line this week is 78.5. I'm smashing the over this week, BJ.
And he's one of those players, dude. He can have 78.5 rushing yards on one attempt.
Yep.
And so with it, I completely agree. Has been killing it since becoming the actual RB1 on the team and then getting rid of James Robinson. They just put up crazy numbers. That offense is starting to click. They just acquired Calvin Ridley. So then look at next year, you know. And so I think ETN, I think it's a, I'll be honest with you. I'll say I think he's a top six dynasty back right now.
Love it.
And with it, dude, I agree with you wholeheartedly here.
He's one of my favorite players in the NFL right now.
Absolutely, man. So with my player prop this week, I'm going with the one and only DeAndre Hopkins, D-Hop. Man, his stat line player prop is 88.5 receiving yards, and I am smashing the over. And just his two games back from his suspension, D-Hop has been crushing it. He has put up not only fantastic fantasy numbers in PPR leagues, but he's also actually had over 100 yards receiving in both matchups. Now he faces a pretty decent Seattle defense, but I believe Hopkins has proved that he's back to that alpha position, and this is an easy hit for me, man. I know D-Hop has that chemistry with Kyler. You saw what's happened to Zach Ertz's PPR numbers and how his receptions have went down and when he was hyper-targeted. So now you can obviously tell that Kyler is looking D-Hop's way. And so I think that he has over 88.5 receiving yards this week.
Man, I like it. DeAndre Hopkins is a beast, man. And he's come back fresh. He has come back showing that he can still be an alpha. And especially with Hollywood Brown out, you know, I mean, there's just no other options. I mean, Rondell Moore is okay in the slot. But man, D-Hop is going to get his 88.5 receiving yards. He's another receiver, man. He can take that top off and catch and make a miraculous catch. And in just a couple catches, he could definitely have that. So definitely. I love it, man. I think you're right. I think it's an easy hit. All right. So going on, moving on with me here, man, let's hit Justin Fields again. We're going to talk about Justin Fields again on the podcast. Justin Fields, man, he has been killing it in his rushing overs. The past 3 weeks, he has been 60, 90, and 90, I believe, somewhere around in there. And his line this week, 48.5 rushing yards. So, man, I'm going to smash the over on this 48.5 rushing. I think for them to have a chance, I think they're going to continue this trend of Justin Fields running the ball a little bit. And then, of course, he ad-libs some, and he is a very dynamic athlete. So give me the 48.5 rushing, smashing the over, give it to me.
Another one of the players, man, that can have a 48-yard rushing one play performance in a heartbeat. Yep. You saw that happen. When was it? I think 3 or 4 weeks ago. He actually had a 55-yard touchdown run called back because of a holding call. Mm-hmm. And so I think Fields has that talent. Like I said earlier in the podcast, it looks like they're actually giving him more running opportunities, designed runs. And so I agree with you 100% right here, man. So stat line I'm going with for my second and final one is my boy Ramondre Stevenson. This is somebody I told you to keep your eye on going into this season. It looks like he's actually secured the RB1 position there in New England. But his stat line this week is 86.5 combined rushing and receiving yards. I think he hits it. I think he goes over. The last time that Stevenson missed 86.5 combined yards, Steven, was back in week 2, where he only saw 11 opportunities with the ball. Since then, his usage went up. His receptions have went up. His yards rushing has went up. His targets have went up. Everything has went up to where now it looks like he has surpassed Damian Harris on the depth chart. And he's been averaging over 50 yards rushing alone It doesn't also hurt that in the past two games, he's seen 8 targets per game and just came off of a 72 receiving yard performance. I expect him to do the same against a favorable matchup against Indianapolis, who should be starting Sam Ehlinger once again. And so with it, I think I think Stevenson eats this week. I'm actually plugging him in a couple of leagues as my RB2. And so with it, I'm excited for it. I'm anxious to see what he does with it.
Man, I like it. And I love this section. Ramondre Stevenson is a guy that I don't own anywhere. So I just don't keep up with him. I don't keep up with his numbers like I probably should, playing as much fantasy as we do. But just these numbers that you're talking about, 86.5 rushing and receiving yards. He's only missed it the last time he missed it, week 2. I mean, that's a smash, right? Like, it's like my Brady one last week, right? I mean, he's thrown one interception all year long, and it was back in week 1, right? So you just – some of these, you just roll the dice and take a chance on, and this one feels like a really, really good one, and I like it, BJ.
Hey, so real quick, let's talk about this Brady interception thing. Did you watch that game last Thursday?
Look, don't worry about what he did and what should have been picked and what shouldn't have been picked. Bro. All I know is when the game was over, he had 0 interceptions.
The whole time I was sitting there and I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Because there was at least 3 interceptions that hit the Ravens defense secondary in the hands and they dropped. And okay. So good call there. Good call.
Okay.
There.
Well, look, I was watching it too, and I guess it was what, about 4 minutes to go. He threw one in the end zone that absolutely
it hit
that dude hands, right in the hands. And of course I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you. But I know, you know, you just know, like, right there in those situations where teams are down and they're just throwing. They were down 2 possessions and you know they're throwing it, and you're just going, he's gonna throw one. I know he's gonna throw one. But look, man, we hit it. We got out of there with one, and that's the name of the game. Get out, survive.
Absolutely, man. So moving into the last segment, Steven, something I want to do over the next couple of weeks. We've been doing buy low, sell high, and that's been fun and stuff, but man, it gets kind of old after a while. And so let's change it up a little bit. Let's start talking about some Devy players, man. So this new segment, we're going to call it Devy Darlings. So what I want to do, Steven, let's pick one player per week for the next couple of weeks that we have basically fallen in love with before rookie drafts. And so I know with me and you, I know you're in a couple of Devy leagues. I'm in one that it's my first year actually being in it. It's caused me to actually keep a close eye on college players. And so with this, it's actually, I feel like I'm a little more prepared going into the 23 draft class and really looking forward to that 24 draft class, if I'm completely honest with you. But man, it makes me watch the college football games a little bit more intentionally, keep up with a lot more schools and a lot more games than I normally would. But what I want to do, Steven, just pick one player each week, like I said, and let's just talk about what we like about them. Talk about the one player that we're kind of high on and just kind of go from there. So I'm gonna let you go first with this one.
All right, man. Well, look, I can't go much more chalk than this, right? This guy for the past, couple years here, past year probably, has been locked in as probably the RB1 of this class. There has been a lot of talk about the running back class this year, about how good it was going to be. And it looks like it's going to shape up to be a really good one. And these Devy leagues are really fun, where you draft these college players and things like that. And if you've not tried that or you're not into that, I suggest you maybe just dab your toes in it a little bit, especially if you like college football. So my guy here is Bijan Robinson. Man, he is the Texas running back. As a 2020 freshman, he burst onto the scene playing 9 games for the Longhorns. He ran for 705 yards on 87 attempts, an average of 8.1 yards his freshman year. In 2021, as a sophomore, 10 games, rushed for 1,127 yards on 195 carries for an average of 5.8 with 11 touchdowns. And, man, he has just been killing it this year. 2022, already 162 attempts, 920 yards, an average of 5.7, already 11 touchdowns. He's had a long rush this year of 78 yards. He is just an absolute monster. Just to give you just a couple of his strengths, Robinson brings a nice blend of size, speed, and power. They say his best attribute is his relentlessness. He consistently thrashes through tacklers to turn minimal gains into long ones. Man, I think Robinson is just an impressive, impressive athlete, and he has ideal size and power for that traditional workhorse running back. in the NFL. And it just shows that he's produced. He produced in high school effectively in high school. If you go back and look at his numbers, I'm not going to go over that. But everywhere he's been, he's produced. I think he can be viewed as likely, maybe, the number one overall pick, given the current lack of demand for running backs in the NFL, especially, you know, his high selections. It's unlikely he'll be a top 10 selection, but assuming he continues to play to form, he's not going to last past the 20th pick in the 2023 NFL draft.
Oh, I agree, man. I'll be honest with you. I think that he is probably one of the best running back prospects I've seen in a long time. Watching him, he is just a true talent. I'm anxious to see what the dynasty rankings look like after he gets drafted. I want to say that he is easily, before even playing a down of football, easily going to be a top five dynasty running back.
I think so too.
And I think he's going to make a push with JT up there at the top very, very, very quickly. Man, go ahead.
I just was going to say, all right, when you think about running backs over the past, let's just say, 4 or 5 years, who's been better? Who's been a better prospect running back?
Man, the one that I think of when I think of the closest is probably Saquon. You know, like with it, he was like 101 surefire in the Superflex rookie drafts.
Absolutely.
And I think here, if you have the 101 coming up in 2023, no matter if it's Superflex, no matter if it's 1QB, whatever, it's Bijan no matter what. And so I'm smashing it, dude. And so I completely agree. My pick, and I'm going to, this is a homer pick, but I'm going with the RB2 of the class, Jahmyr Gibbs. Man, Jahmyr Gibbs is an Alabama running back, transferred in from Georgia Tech this past year, and has absolutely been killing it this year, man. I see hints of Alvin Kamara in his game. Just looks fantastic. Dude is a receiving back, but also can run the rock as well. Looking at his stats from this year, he started off the season kind of slow, only rushing for maybe 9 attempts each game for the first 4 games. His rushing was where he made his money, though. You get it, made money at Alabama. But in the receiving game, he was averaging probably around 40, 50 yards receiving. But in a 3-game stretch between Arkansas, Texas A&M, and the loss against Tennessee, you actually had Jahmyr Gibbs put up over 100 rushing yards, with his high against Arkansas being 206 rushing yards with 2 touchdowns. And so what I love about Jahmyr Gibbs, man, his elusiveness is there. He has extremely quick feet. When he gets into the open field, he doesn't necessarily try to run players over, but he's very shifty. He has that Alvin Kamara gene in him, to where he just, when he gets in the open field, he can make you miss in a heartbeat. And just how Kamara can lower his shoulders and take the hit if he needs to, sometimes he can also just, man, make a quick move, get right past the guy, and the speed carries him. It's the same way with Jahmyr Gibbs. And so the running back landscape, just like what you said, Stephen, it is changing. You're starting to not see that many bell cow running backs. You're starting to see to where if they are a true bell cow, they have to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. And just that's one, like you said, that's one of Bijan Robinson's greatest strengths. But also Jahmyr Gibbs, man, he is a fantastic receiving back. And so I think that you're going to have hints of that, you know, Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, out of the Alvin Kamaras, the ones who, when they get the ball in their hand, Jahmyr Gibbs knows what to do with it. And so I think he is going to be a steal in this upcoming draft. Obviously, I think Bijan goes ahead of him. I honestly think in the Superflex League, CJ Stroud and Bryce Young probably go ahead of him. And so if you have one of those mid-round picks, you're hoping that he falls. You're hoping that he goes to a team that will actually pass him the ball, and he's a player that I'm keeping my eye out on.
Yeah, man, I love the player. And of course, we watch a lot of SEC football. Man, he looks like a stud. And like you said, in this NFL today and time, you better be able to catch the ball. And he looks the part, man. He looks great. I completely agree with you. I think Bijan is ahead of him, but I think Jahmyr Gibbs is right behind him and probably the RB2 of the class. So, yeah, man, I'm completely on board with that.
Absolutely, man. And so wrapping up today's episode, we do want to take this time and just thank our listeners, man. I know this past week we try to push it on social media a little bit, and we just want to thank you for taking the time and listening to our podcast. We know that we have a lot of new listeners just over the past week. And so, man, if you've just taken a little bit of time to just listen to two average dudes talk about dynasty fantasy football, a couple of Devy players, and really some hot takes and stuff, man, thank y'all for that. We really appreciate it. We want to keep this thing growing, keep this thing to where it can be a fun conversation just between two guys that you enjoy to listen to. And hopefully the takes that we give you, maybe we won't just, you know, fall apart every single one of them. And so thank y'all for that, man. We really appreciate it. Steven, man, you know, I always turn it over to you real quick to give some little last minute fantasy advice before I plug our social media platforms.
Yeah, man, I just think here we are, week 9, and it is definitely time. I know I've touched on this past couple weeks, but you're here, man. It is time to sell, or it's time to go. And this will be the last week that I say this, but this is the turning point here. You can't really have a losing record at this point in most leagues and think that you still have a chance for the most part. This week is critical for you. I think, you know, if you lose this week and you're already on the fringe of getting in, man, you better turn it around and try to sell and do what you can to make your dynasty team, to set it up for the future and beyond. I hate to see teams that are riding that fence, that are barely going to get in. And then even if they get in, they can't really make a push. I hate to see them trade their picks away and basically give up their future for nothing. So just be mindful of that. Be mindful of what you're doing in your dynasty leagues. Rebuild it if it needs rebuilding. Go for it if you think you can get it.
Absolutely, man. I know, like, don't be so quick to pull the trigger either. I will say that. What I mean by that is, don't make the same mistake that I did a couple of years back and sell your 23 first for Ezekiel Elliott, because I'm just going to go ahead and say that was a really dumb move. And so as you are making this playoff push, be strategic with it. Look for players that can actually bump their dynasty value a little bit too, that can also give you performance now. If you can go out and get a D-hop, go look at those rebuilders, see what they're doing. If they've got points on their roster they need to get off, Steven, that's what you just did with Deontay Foreman. And absolutely, so you made your team, you solidified it a little bit with a third round pick, you know?
And look, that team for me, it's a fringe team. And I just thought, okay, a 23 third is not going to break me, you know, in the future. I can grab this running back that's scoring points right now, and we'll just see where it goes. And that 23 third is not going to, you know, hurt the future of that dynasty team.
Absolutely.
So yeah, man, just make good moves, make smart moves. Again, like BJ said, the 23-1 for Zeke, that's tough right now. So just don't pull the trigger on really, really fast. Just make sure you're getting good value for your players. Also, stay active in these leagues, man. It's tough. So stay active and do your due diligence. Don't give up early. Just keep grinding, keep fighting, keep sending out those trade offers, and hope one hits.
Absolutely, man. So follow us over on our social media platforms over at Twitter at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow Steven at SDeaton24. You can follow me at AfroDynamics116. You can also hit us up on Facebook, Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty Podcast. Feel free to give us a 5-star review if you want to. Doesn't really matter to us, but it'd be cool. Man, other than that, y'all set your lineups. Enjoy this week, man. Take your time. Get away from your cell phones and stuff during these games. Enjoy it for what it is. It is a game, man. Enjoy rooting for your team. Enjoy rooting for your players, and just enjoy the weekend. You guys have a good one.